Friends, if you could turn to Jonah chapter 2. Now, we devoted time to prayer the end of November. The prayer time on the Wednesday evening and then the following Saturday morning was particularly encouraging. Leading into that season of prayer, we considered Daniel chapter 6 and Daniel's example of persisting in prayer. And then a couple of weeks ago, to open our prayer time, we turned to Daniel's intercession in chapter 9, his intercessory prayer on behalf of the nation. Tonight, sort of acting as a little bookend to this little season of prayer, obviously this was supposed to be delivered last week, but for health reasons couldn't be here. But what I want to do by way of sort of making this little type of bookend on prayer is look here at Jonah 2 and Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish. So if you have that portion of scripture in front of you, friends, let us hear the word of God. This is found in Jonah 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even up to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. So reads God's word. Jonah 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Now, beloved, there is a lot of encouragement for us here that I want you to see this evening. Obviously, we know that God hears and God answers. He hears and he answers us at all times, and no less so during times of distress. Jonah is in distress due to his own disobedience. He prays, and God hears and answers. So, friends, for our encouragement, I want you to see how the text gives us some specific pointers to how and why God answers us when we call on him in distress. Firstly, God answers us in spite of our guilt. Secondly, God answers us in spite of his judgment. Thirdly, God answers us and delivers us from impossible circumstances. Fourthly, God answers us in the nick of time. Fifthly, God answers us in stages, not all of which are comfortable. Sixthly, God answers us in order to win our undivided loyalty and thanks. And number seven, God answers us in our guilty distress to help us become merciful like he is. Now, we're going to go through each of those 7 points, and I'll obviously repeat the heading as we go through it. But let's look at them in order with the aim of encouraging ourselves to call on God with even more confidence. So, firstly, God answers our cry of distress even when we are guilty. Jonah was not on his way to Nineveh when he found himself tossed overboard. We know he was actually running from God. He was going in the opposite direction. He was guilty of disobedience. That's why he's in the water. Now, we know that believers can often find themselves in trouble precisely because of their disobedience. And should any of us fall into that category and are wondering, is there any hope for me? Will God have mercy on me? Will he hear me in spite of, you know, what I've been doing disobediently or whatever? Will he hear my cry of distress? Well, friends, take heart from Jonah. His distress was the fruit of his guilt, but God answered him and gave him another chance. Now, this is not an isolated teaching in Scripture. If you just turn over to Psalm 107 for a moment, keep a little marker in Jonah 2. But in Psalm 107, if you break into the chapter at verse 10 and we read through to verse 15, you'll see what I mean. This is not isolated. Psalm 107, verse 10. As we read this, keep Jonah in mind. Verse 10, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Just like Jonah, isn't it? Disobeyed God. Therefore, it continues in the psalm, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Ending there at verse 15. If disobedience is the cause of our distress, then we can repent and cry to the Lord. He will answer us in spite of our guilt. He will answer you in spite of your guilt. That's such an encouragement when we come to the character of Jonah. But if you flick back now to Jonah chapter 2, you will see in the second place that God answers us in spite of his judgment, because disobedience brings judgment. And notice what Jonah says there in verse 3 of chapter 2, for you cast me into the deep. Now, according to verse 15 of chapter 1, we know it was the ship's crew who picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. But friends, Jonah knows that it was all of God. God was angry at Jonah's disobedience, and he was going to require chastisement. You know, all that the Father loves, all that God loves, he will chasten. And Jonah knows that he needs to be chastened for his disobedience. And I suppose, friends, nothing makes us despair in our distress like the thought that God has put us there, because he's angry with us. And I guess most of us might say, you know, if God, you know, ever put me in a horrible situation like that because he was displeased with me, then you would probably reason, is there any point in praying for his help? That's the way Satan would have us reason in such a situation. But look at Jonah. Jonah ventured to pray for deliverance from the very God who threw him into the water. Even though God was chastening him, even though God was judging him, Jonah still knew where to look. He wasn't going to let that become a barrier between him and God. And the God who threw him in the water heard his prayer and performed a miracle to save him. Even when God is displeased with us, He never brings us into affliction merely for the sake of punishment. God's purposes always have restoration in view. That's the reason he chastens, the reason he judges, because he wants that relationship back again. He wants that fellowship. So even if you felt as though the very hand of God is against you at times in your distress, don't despair. Don't let Satan get you, you know, whispering in your ear saying, well, that proves that God has cast you aside. He's cast you overboard, just like Jonah. You say, well, actually, you know, Jonah didn't stop calling on God. Jonah continued to call upon God, and God answered his child in spite of the chastening, in spite of his judgment. Thirdly, God answers us and delivers us from impossible circumstances. Verse 5 and into the first part of verse 6, second part of verse 6, describe the extremity of Jonah's plight. The waters, it says in verse 5, surrounded me even up to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth of the spars closed behind me. It would be a terrible thing to fall overboard and be left, you know, behind adrift in a placid sea, you know, a calm sea. How much more worse to be thrown into a raging storm with maybe 20, 30 foot waves, and you feel yourself being sucked down into the deep, and you feel, I'm done for. And as if that wasn't enough, as you struggle to get air, you hit a mass of seaweed, and it tangles all around your head and your neck, and it's a terrifying scene that's painted for us here. God let the circumstances become impossible before he delivered Jonah. My friends, I'm sure you're like myself. I don't know why it is, but it seems that in the Christian life, distresses and troubles come in batches. It's just like one wave after another. Yeah, it's not like, you know, get hit with a wave and that's it. You know, you get hit with a wave and then you hit with another one and then you're hit with another one. And it doesn't seem you get space. You don't even get space, you know, to come up for air. You don't get troubles and distresses don't get spaced out in proportion to our power to cope. And you're thinking, you know, if it came with a little distance between it, maybe I'd be able to catch my breath. But it doesn't. Barely you're catching your breath, then you're hit with another wave. And oft times, circumstances develop to the point where we can't see any way out. But then we need to remember Jonah's plight. Yes, it was impossible. Cast overboard, weeds about his head, being sucked down. It was impossible for Jonah to see a way out. But it wasn't for God. It wasn't impossible for God. As we're told in Mark 10:27, with God all things are possible. When we cry to the Lord our God in distress, he answers and delivers us. How can he answer and deliver us? Because with God all things are possible. Fourthly, he answers us in the nick of time. Verse 7 says, when my soul fainted within me. More pointedly or starkly, we could say, as I was losing my consciousness, I remembered the Lord. Jonah was still praying without an answer in sight just before he lost consciousness, just before he blacked out. In fact, he probably did black out and regain consciousness sometime later, realizing he had been spurred from the deep and he was in the belly of this great fish. You see, friends, God often answers our prayers in the 11th hour. Many a saint has groaned with Habakkuk, saying, Lord, how long? How long shall I cry out to you for help, and you will not hear? But you see, friends, Jonah gives us courage and encouragement to be unrelenting in our prayer, to keep on crying out to God, even as we go unconscious, as it were, and to believe that God will answer in the nick of time. Fifthly, God answers our cries of distress in stages, not all of which are very comfortable. We must get out of our head the all or nothing notion of answered prayer. We can be fairly sure that when Jonah cried out to God, he didn't say, oh God, put me in the belly of a big fish for 3 days. I don't think that was part of his prayer. He probably said, God, save me. I'm cast out from your presence, but God, have mercy on me. You see how God's answer came in stages. The belly of a fish hardly seemed like salvation, but it was. Jonah is granted enough consciousness to realize he has been spared from drowning, and there is hope. He's been spared from drowning, and there is hope. Now, he doesn't complain about his surroundings. He accepts God's first stage of salvation as a guarantee of dry land. And he concludes his prayer in the fish's belly with the great affirmation, salvation is of the Lord. My friends, don't disregard the partial works of God. If God chooses to save and heal by stages, he has good purposes in doing that. And we ought to be grateful for any improvement in our condition. Obviously, you know, a fish's belly is better than weeds around the head at the bottom of the sea. God answers in stages, not all of which are pleasant or comfortable, but he is our good end in view. Sixthly, God answers our cry of distress in order to win our undivided loyalty and thanksgiving. Verses 8 and 9. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Now, those verses show how a prayer to God after deliverance should conclude. The answer to Jonah's prayer has produced its desired effect. It has produced its proper effect. It has filled Jonah with wonder that anyone would forsake the Lord and keep idols. God taught Jonah that if you leave the Lord, then you leave mercy, you forsake mercy. And God has filled Jonah's mouth with thanksgiving. God answers prayers in order that thanksgiving will abound to his glory, which means that people who have a spirit of thanksgiving are the best candidates for answered prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. You see, God answers us in distress in order to win our undivided loyalty and fill us with thanksgiving for his mercy. Finally, God answers us in our guilty distress to help us become merciful like he is. Now, to show you where this comes from, we need to finish the story. So then we go into chapter 3. And in chapter 3, after Jonah is back on land, God sends him to Nineveh. And Jonah goes and he preaches judgment. You need 40 days to repent or it's curtains. And it says in chapter 3, verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God. And then in verse 10 of chapter 3, we get God's response. Then God saw their works. They turned from their evil way. God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. My friends, follow what has happened in the first three chapters in relation to Jonah. Jonah disobeyed God. God put him under the threat of destruction. Jonah cries to the Lord in his distress, and God answers him and gives him a new lease of life. So also with the Ninevites. They disobeyed God, chapter 1, verse 2. God put them under the threat of destruction, chapter 3, verse 4. They cry out to God in their distress. God hears them. God answers them, and God gives them a new lease of life. God showed mercy to Jonah so that Jonah would learn to show mercy to the Ninevites. The book of Jonah has a message that is loud and clear about God, and God in Christ redeeming his people. But there are a number of underlying messages, namely, God's mercy is not confined to Israel, but extends to any people who will trust in him and repent of their sin. What saves is not nationality, but faith. That's one great gospel message coming out of the Old Testament, coming out of the book of Jonah, obviously. Another theme concerns Jonah, you and me, and the way we ought to be if God has shown mercy to us. A striking point of the book is not so much God is merciful, which obviously you know he is, but that's not a striking point of the book. Not so much that God is merciful as you be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. The ultimate lesson about prayer in the book of Jonah is that God answers us in mercy to make us merciful. Now, this is confirmed if we just watch how God finishes his work on Jonah in chapter 4. Now, you know what happens in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. They show us that Jonah really failed to learn the lesson of the fish. You know, sometimes we're hard learners. You know, it takes us quite a while to learn. It says in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. That's angry because God saved these Ninevites. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my own country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you're a gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." And you see, he still hasn't learned. He is angry that God has the audacity to forgive these Ninevites. You see, he is still a rebellious instrument of mercy. And that in itself is amazing, isn't it? So Jonah goes out of town, and he sits down to wait. And notice what God does in verse 6, just as he did in chapter 1, verse 7. You know, in chapter 1, verse 17, God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah in order to save his prophet. But in chapter 4, verse 6, he appoints a plant to save Jonah from the discomfort of the sun. So God is so merciful, he's so kind, he's so gracious, so long-suffering. God will teach his prophet one more time. Only this time, if you notice, the lesson plan is reversed. Jonah will not move from distress to deliverance as he did in the water, but this time he'll move from deliverance to distress. So verse 6 says that Jonah was very grateful for the plan, deliverance, just like he was glad to be saved from the water. But the next day, as we know in chapter 4, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And then God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat in Jonah's head. Distress. And what was Jonah's response? Jonah got angry. And then God comes with his word and lays bare the heart of Jonah. In essence, what God says at the end of chapter 4 is this: Jonah, you pity the plant and you get angry when I destroy it. But when I have pity upon 120,000 people who know not their right hand from their left hand and I deliver them, you get angry with me. My friends, do you see what God is saying to Jonah through this and saying also to ourselves? God is saying, Jonah, don't you see what I was trying to teach you when I answered your cry of distress from the fish's belly and I saved you? Jonah, I had mercy on you in spite of your guilt. I had mercy on you in spite of your disobedience. I had mercy on you in spite of my own sentence of judgment upon you. I saved you from impossible circumstances. I delivered you in the nick of time. I prepared that fish to save your life. You were filled with a song of thanksgiving for mercy when you realized it. And from that fish's belly, do you not remember that you vowed loyalty to me? And then when the fish spits you up and you're several months down the line and you've been at Nineveh, you preached the word, now you're back at square one, Jonah. I have to teach you all over again. Jonah, be merciful as I am merciful. You've already said it in your prayer. Get it from your head into your heart and practice it. And that's what God says to us, because sometimes we forget and we're slow learners. God teaches us a lesson. We're thankful. We even make a vow to God. Several months down the line, we've forgotten it. God says, right, we're back to square one again. And he's just saying to ourselves, where he says to Jonah, look, be merciful. As I've been merciful to you, so you be merciful to others.